You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the show, as we always do, with a sense of how market movements have been taking place throughout the day. It's been an interesting day of movements, particularly for commodities counters. I'm joined on the line by wealth manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak, that is Skulk Lowe, to take a look at these market movements and see what we make of them. Skulky, always lovely speaking to you, but even better when we have record highs across pretty much every commodity.
Ah, it's more of the same. Come on, we're getting
this is our new normal.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fantastic how the South African market has been doing. Jimmy, we often been having this conversation, and it's just crazy how unbelievably well the South African market has been doing. I mean, you're talking about new highs and the resource index. I'm going to do a little bit of a. I love your intros. You go to do these history lessons, and you teach us a few things. Just when you look at, let's call it the indices, you usually got a few indices. The most well known for us at African is the JSE All Share. I'm not going to explain how that's made up. Very much according to market cap. Then you've got the Cap Swix or the Cap All Share, and that's, as the word said, it's to prohibit what we've seen in that, let's call it 2018, where a company really becomes such a large portion of the index, and that says Naspers was over 20%. And that's where they cap either 10% or 12%. But then you get something like the MSCI World Index, and there they look at all the developed market and the MSCI All Country World. It's pretty much including the emerging markets. But when you part of that is called the MSCI Index, it's where your specific company is listed, and very easy to explain, is when you actually take a company like British American Tobacco Company, everybody knows it's listed. That's on the JSE, but the primary listing is in the UK or on the FTSE. So when you look at BATS, that will form part of the MSCI UK. Richemont, we know it's listed. It's a South African company. Nope, it is listed on Switzerland and will form part. When you look at the South African index, and we've often had this conversation. When you look at the South African index, do you want to take a wild stab what it's done year to date, Jimmy?
Year to date, I'm going to wager 35%.
Ooh, you are really, really, really close. Because as we sit here, the JSE All Share has done pretty much 38% year to date. Phenomenal. So when you look at the MSCI South Africa, now this is, like I said, companies that's purely listed in South Africa. It excludes all these BATS and Richemont. So it will include Naspers, but also it will include all of these locally listed gold mines. Yeah, locally. Do you want to take a stab at what that has done year to date? And let's do this in dollar terms, because South Africa, we know the dollar has improved. So when you look at the South African index in dollar terms, it's done a little bit more. It's done 40-odd%. You want to take a stab what it's done in the MSCI South Africa?
MSCI South Africa, I'm going to guess somewhere in the region of perhaps 28 to 32%.
Well, as we said here, the year-to-date performance for the MSCI South Africa in dollar terms is just over 60%.
Wow. That's impressive.
So, yep, that's it. South Africa, I mean, we've been harsh on South Africa for the past, let's call it 5-6 years, often been saying, no, the best place to be invested is abroad. And we know that the S&P 500 has done phenomenal. S&P 500 over the past 5 years has done 110% in dollar terms. So it's doubled up your money over 5 years. It's fantastic. But over the same time, the JSE All Share in dollar terms has yielded a return of, wait for it, 145%. So we've been doing phenomenal. It's a fantastic, fantastic time to be invested on the JSE, and your resource count has definitely helped. And today was no different. I mean, we've really, really seen some great returns on coming from the resource counters. Today, resource counters, the JSE Resi improved 5.3%. And I spoken to another commentator earlier today, and he started off the question and says, "Skulk, I've got serious FOMO." I said, "Why?" Well, he said, "Well, you know what? I'm not investing in gold. Should I? You know, should I or shouldn't I?" And my usual, you know, let's call it textbook answer is usually, "Can I tell you in a year's time?" he didn't like that very much, but I'm just going to look at the likes of the big investment houses. Goldman Sachs, they brought out a report. And yeah, I'm specifically looking at the gold index, or the gold price reaching new all-time highs again. The gold price, Goldman Sachs actually said last week, well, they actually see the gold price surpassing the $4,900 next year. I want to say I sort of read it again, and I want to see if it's really next year or maybe next week. By the looks of it, seems like it's going to be next week. And then today, Bank of America, they came out of a report and say, well, they actually do feel that the gold price could surpass the $5,000 mark pretty soon as well. And then immediately this question, I've got serious FOMO, sort of came back to me. And nobody's going to have more FOMO than the Bank of England. You know what? Ooh. You know what? That the central bank, that's like us. That's our central bank. That's their central bank. They actually, when you look at the central bank's holdings in gold, and we know that most of the central banks have been accumulating a load of gold over the past year. Likes of Poland, suddenly they're buying a lot of gold. We know China is in the mix. Russia is always in the mix buying gold. And India, they've always been a solid gold buyer. But when you look at the US, pretty much the amount of gold that they got in their central bank is exactly the same amount of gold. They've got about 8,100-odd tons of gold in their central banks. That's exactly the same amount of gold that they held in 2000. So over the past, we have to call it 25 years, they've accumulated no extra gold. When the likes of China, they had about 395 tons of gold in 2000. Today they're sitting at 2,300 tons. I mean, Russia, we know they've accumulated. But the only real country that actually sold their gold was Bank of England. They actually back, let's go 2001-ish, they actually reduced the amount of gold from 500, let's go just shy of 600 tons. And today they only own, 310 tons of gold. So I think nobody's got more FOMO currently looking at this gold price than the UK market, or let's call it the Bank of England itself.
Skulk, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the rand. That's seemingly benefiting as well. I mean, you touched on the fact that South African markets have had nothing short of an amazing year. And I think back to when you and I were looking at what was the commodity super cycle of 2021. This makes that commodity cycle look like it was an absolute joke. But let's look at the rand. 17.30, fighting back against the US dollar, holding its own. We've got some key data that could potentially count in the rand's favor, even though the dollar continues to be a little bit weaker here. Where do we see the rand going? We know where we see the gold price going. We know where we see other markets, but where do we see the rand going?
Can I tell you in a year's time?
I'll hold you to that.
Jimmy, so it's an easy one. To me, it's an easy one. You know, when it comes to a currency, and in this case, we're talking about the rand, a currency is usually, let's call it in inverted commas, the share price of a country. So when that share price, well, let's call it that country's productivity actually improves, that share price or currency improves as well. And a lot of people will look around and say, well, Scott, look around you. We're still struggling with corruption. We still, you know, we've got very, very high unemployment rate. Our economy is not even growing 1% per annum. I mean, this is really a struggling economy. And then my reply to that is, yes, that is 100% correct. But how do you eat an elephant? It's just one bite at a time. We are the largest platinum producer in the world. We're the second largest palladium producer in the world. Both these commodities, platinum has gone from, it's got at the beginning of the year, just shy of $900 per ounce, $800-something per ounce. Currently trading over $1,600 per ounce. Very similar to what gold has done. So our platinum counters are doing extremely well. We're the eighth largest gold producer in the world. And we know, we've just spoken about what gold has done. We've seen our current account. Now, current account, for the listeners out there that don't know what we're talking about, this is, you know, if you've got more exports than imports, you're running a surplus. And inversely, if you've got more imports than an export, you're running a deficit. Ultimately, you want to be running a surplus like a country like South Africa. This is now the seventh or eighth month in a row where South Africa has been running a surplus, a current account surplus. This means we are exporting way more than we're importing. And suddenly things are slowly, slowly starting to turn. I do believe that the rand at current levels is still looking attractive, meaning I think it's undervalued. And I wouldn't be surprised if we score it, break the 17 rand to the dollar very, very soon.
We could potentially be the most resilient market out there, considering the conditions we've had to battle with. But for now, the resource counters really shining a spotlight on the South African markets. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to Skulk. Always lovely catching up with you. Skulk Lowe, wealth manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak, joining us to take a look at market movements as well as perhaps some of the market drivers.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.